Come on, give it up for Brady.
Thank you. Love you too. Well, thank you, Marty, Pastor, for that introduction. His family has meant a lot to me and me growing up in this church. And I just want to say thank you for being here. It's an honor to stand up here. As I was getting ready today, I was just thinking, how am I standing in front of church sharing the Word of God? But I'm excited to be here. And I just want to thank you, friends, family. My mom's here. My nephew, my wife is here. My daughter's upstairs in the nursery with Becky. And I'm just blessed to be here. Before I get going, I just want to share three events that happened on this day in history in the United States. The reason I'm doing that, it's like, when the Super Bowl starts, usually the first play is like a handoff. It calms the crowd. It calms the atmosphere a little bit. So I'm going to share these things to just calm my heart down a little bit so I can share what God has shared with me tonight for you. In 1919, the state of Oregon was the first state to impose a 1% sales tax on gas. Not exciting. In 1964, Cassius Clay, a.k.a. Muhammad Ali, became champion and he defeated Sonny Liston. 2004, The Passion of the Christ was released. So those are some events. My heart's calming down. It's like I just did 30 burpees. But I'm excited to be here because I believe that God has put this on my heart. I believe that what I have to share with you is for somebody here. It could be for all of you, but if it's for one person tonight, if it can change your life, it can get you closer to God, then I believe that God spoke through me. God's working with me. The title of my message is Holy What? Spirit. I asked Ryan to share that song tonight. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Fill this atmosphere. So I'm going to share with you some lies, some misconceptions that maybe you've believed, but I'm going to be very humble because I'm with friends and family. Some lies that I have believed because of past circumstances in my life, because of events that just stuck in my subconscious for too long. And so I'm going to share some misconceptions. I'm going to share about a revelation that happened in my life, and I believe that can happen to you. When I hear the word spirit, many things come to my mind, but what I do is I go back to it as a child and I think about what a spirit was. A lot of times spirit was portrayed as something scary on TV, some sort of wind or third dimension floating around us, some sort of evil force. Sometimes you hear about the Holy Spirit being the Holy Ghost, and I think about Casper the Friendly Ghost. But there was three ghosts that weren't very nice that chased him. So I'm listening to the song that Ryan's singing. I'm walking through my 13 years of being a Christian, and I'm believing these lies that stuck with me as a child, like the spirit is something that is evil, that the spirit is something that is chasing you. So I'm just speaking from my heart tonight, and I just want to pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. God, and I just pray that you fill us. Fill this atmosphere with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, be with me. I believe that you put this in my heart, God, and I believe that it's for somebody tonight. Somebody needs a revelation. Somebody needs a revelation that you gave me about the Holy Spirit. So that's why my message is holy, dot, dot, dot. Like, it gives you time to think, what? Spirit. Genesis 1:2 says, "The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered deep waters. The Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the water." I got a lot of scriptures tonight. Matthew 1:18. "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm real confused now. Matthew 3:21. I'm sorry, Luke 3:21. 22. Let me get there, forgive me. If I can find it. Have forgiveness on me. Matthew 2. I'm sorry. That's where I was wrong. I apologize. Luke 3, 21 and 22. When it was time, I told you I need another handoff, so please, I apologize. Okay. Luke 3, 21, 22. One day when God was being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized as he was praying. The heavens opened. The Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved, and you bring me great joy." And then in Acts 1, 4 and 5, once he was eating with them, he commanded, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sent you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses telling people that about me in Jerusalem, through Judea, and in Samaria, and to tell the end of the earth." And then last one here is Acts 2, 1 through 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like a roaring mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongue of fire appeared, settled on them and each other, and everyone present filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues. Okay, now I hear all this stuff and I read about all this stuff. And it talks about a spirit hovering over water. It talks about a spirit making somebody pregnant. A spirit falling from heaven. Flame, tongues of fire. It takes me back to my childhood. It reminds me of a scary movie I might have watched when I was a little kid. And what I want to do right now is take you down a quick road. I have some props tonight that are going to help me. First, this is a masonry block. And I share this with you because this masonry block represents my father, my earthly father, my real dad, my blood, not my spiritual father, Marty, but the real blood that, you know, my dad. And I believed a lie, a misconception from my father. Stay with me here because I'm gonna go somewhere. My dad he's a strong man, a hard-working man. He taught me a lot about life. But he has a lot of holes. And he has a lot of cracks and he has a lot of chips. And my dad was never around. He was afar off. And I just wanted my daddy. I just wanted him close to me. I just wanted him to spend time with me. "Daddy, I don't care about your cracks. I don't care about your holes, Dad. Just spend time with me. I need time with you, Dad. I need to understand who a daddy is. Daddy, just come close. Be with me, Dad. I need you, Dad. Please. Please, Dad. I don't care about your faults. I don't care about them." So that stuck with me. That stuck with me. I need a dad. I need somebody close to me. I need somebody to lead me and guide me. And that was a false perception that has stuck with me for a long time. It's messed with my thought patterns. And without the renewing of my mind, without the renewing of the word, the truth, my mind would never have changed. And don't take me the wrong way. I love my dad, but these things stuck with me. He was always working. He was always busy. And he always lived afar away. So what it's done is give me a misconception of God the Father. Because my father, he was tough. He was hard. He was harsh. His surface was real strong, real hard. So when I walked, I knew God. I always known God, but I didn't always know God. I heard God is love. God loves you. He gave his son for you. But don't do this, God says. Because that's what I learned. I learned a harsh father. So that's a lie that I believed. I believed that God was harsh. God was watching me. Don't do this. Don't do that. He was rough. But that's not God. God is not rough. He gave his only son and he saved me. He did. So, God the Father, the lie that I believed is God is afar off. And it messes with you because you don't think God is close to you. You don't think he's there. You can't feel him. You can't see him. You can't touch him. And he's afar off. And he's this father that's harsh because of a lie that I believed. He's not harsh. It's a lie that I believed. Fast forward to when I'm 23 years old. And I got saved here at the city church. The red represents Jesus, the blood of Jesus. He saved me. I always known about Jesus. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. We sing these. They teach us in Awanas. But at 23 years old, I really met Jesus. Jesus saved me. He cleaned me. He renewed me. He changed me. We are growing together. I have a standard to live up to. But as I walk with him, I started trying to live up with his standard. And I started losing my personal relationship with him. And here's another reason the lie that I believed is the Bible tells me that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. So now, my Savior, he's with the Heavenly Father. He's not near me. And so now I'm pleading with Jesus. I said, Jesus, forgive me. I can't live up to your standard. Help me, Jesus. Ask God to forgive me. Ask God to help me. So now I'm losing this personal relationship with the Savior that came so close to me. Like Marty said, I mean, I came down, I was a mess. I was a complete mess. Snot was running down onto the floor. So now I'm pleading with Jesus, please help me. Help me. Ask God to forgive me. You're sitting right next to God. So I have this, I'm losing this personal relationship with Jesus because I'm thinking I have a far off God. I must have a far off Savior. And then Chuck Wood, which I wish he was here. I really do. I really, really do. Because he helped orchestrate. We'll get it cleaned up, Pastor. He helped orchestrate me getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Chuck Wood helped me. I was on fire. I mean, I was a mess, but I was a mess on fire. And I didn't understand what the Holy Spirit is. Take me back to my childhood. A spirit is something scary. It's a Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. I'm almost scared, and I don't understand. Because I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come be with me, but I'm not understanding, so I'm like picking him up, thinking he's some sort of force or some sort of wind that is supposed to like come aside me. Like, and I'm just being real, take away the cigarettes from me. Take away the sex from me. Like, take away those thoughts from me. And I'm like thinking that he's some sort of force or some sort of wind that is supposed to be helping me because of a lie and a misconception that I believe. I want that feeling. You know that feeling when the Holy Spirit just comes on you? I mean, it's a feeling that you've never felt before, and you almost want that feeling. And now, I wanted that feeling. I needed that feeling. I had addiction problems when I got saved. Those addictions helped with my feelings. So now I want the feeling, because I want the feeling of the Holy Spirit. But he's not just a force. He's not just this power. He's not just this wind that is floating around. We sing the song, "Fall on Me." What is falling on me? Who is falling on me? And recently, and Ryan's helped me with this, I had a revelation. And it wasn't long ago. Now, mind you, I've walked with Jesus for 13 years of my life, trying to live up to the standard, trying to work hard, trying to do this for God. And there's nothing wrong with that. We have to work. But you can't work your way to heaven. You can't build a mountain high enough. You can't build a skyscraper high enough to work your way to Jesus. You can't work and work and work and work. You have to have a personal relationship. And what happened to me is I heard somebody say, he's real. He's a person. He is not scary. He is close. He is with me. So, the white sheet is the Holy Spirit that's with me. He's covering me. He's real. He has form. He's divine. He's a person. Think about that for a minute. He is a person. He is a person. One day I was at the gym all by myself on a Sunday. And I got this revelation that God is a person. So I turned a treadmill next to me. I didn't turn it up too fast for him, but I said, "Holy..." I said, "Holy Spirit, run with me." And I wept. I wept. I wept. I wept. I wept. That's where I think my God is. That's where I think my Savior is. My spirit, I'm confused. And I had this revelation. He's real. He wants to be with you. He wants to cover you. He wants to be next with you. My wife was upstairs with my daughter, and she had daycare. And I said, "Holy Spirit, sit with me." And I wept. And I wept because it was real. And that's what I needed. And I stopped believing these lies. He completes the Trinity. God, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He has, hear me now, hear me. Maybe it's not your dad. Maybe it's something else happened in your life and you think God is afar off. He's not afar off. He's with us right now. He's sitting with us. He's a spirit that's sitting right next to you, if you can just grasp this. He's intellect. He's emotion. He thinks. He feels. He communicates. He responds. He grieves. He wants fellowship with you. He's our paraclete. He's our advocator or helper. He's our companion. One who consoles, who comforts, who encourages, who uplifts, who refreshes. And he intercedes on our behalf with God. And I have some scriptures. John 14. Hopefully I'll do a little better. I fumbled before and I apologize. But I picked the ball up and I scored that touchdown. Just nerves. So John 14, 15 and 17. "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocator who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads in all truth. The world cannot conceive him because it isn't looking for him. and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be with you. In you. I'm sorry. He will be in you. And then John 14, 25 through 27. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocator as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have done. I am leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. The peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. John 15, 26. But I will send you an Advocator, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And I'm going to tell you what he's not. He is not fairy dust. He is not packing peanuts. He's not this. He is not this. He's not like, he's not that. He's not a liar. He's not a false prophet. He does not tempt us. He does not cause sickness, and he does not cause pain. And he's not just some force that's floating around us. He is real. And what Jesus does, he prays for us. Romans 8, 26 and 27. The Holy Spirit helps in our weakness. For example, we do not know what God wants us to pray. The Holy Spirit prays for us with groaning that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God, God's own will. He enables the church to do works. He arms us and makes us ready. He teaches us things to come. He reveals truth to us. And that's in John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He reveals sin. He convicts the world of sin. John 16, 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and the God of righteousness and the coming of judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. And then the best of all is that he dwells with us. He dwells with me. He dwells with you. He shows the things of Christ. He bears witness of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 12 are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. I'm not going to read all of that, but he gives us wise counsel, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, great faith, great healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, the ability to speak in tongues, and the ability to interpret tongues. And last thing, but not least, is he is promised to us. He's promised to you. He is promised to me. Matthew 3:11. Matthew 3:11. If you could put that up there. You got that, Jeff? I got it right here. Matthew 3:11. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming who is greater than I, so much greater than I am not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Luke 11:13. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The Holy Spirit is promised to us. 2 Corinthians 5:5. And this is what's exciting. God Himself has prepared us for Him, and as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 through 14. And now you Gentiles, now you Brad T., have also heard the truth, the good news that God has saved you. And when you believe in Christ, He identifies you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. Praise God. Praise God. So the in closing, I just want to let you know that He can help you. God is not a far-off God. Jesus is not a far-off Savior. The Holy Spirit is not a far-off Spirit. He's everywhere. He is with you right now. He is close to you. He is a person ready for fellowship in your daily life. So I just ask you to think about what I had shared with you and know that Jesus is with you. God is for you. The Holy Spirit is next to you at all times. And Pastor, if you want to help me close. And I hope somebody has a revelation that I did and doesn't have to wait 13 years to have an understanding of what the Holy Spirit is, because it's a long road trying to live up to Jesus' standards. It's a hard road to just have to cry out to Him and ask Him, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that, but when you lose the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, when you lose the fellowship with Jesus, you're just plowing through a field. It's almost like you have a dull axe and you need the Holy Spirit to help you. You need to realize He's close to you as a person. So maybe something happened in your life. Maybe you feel like you have a far off God. Maybe you feel like you have a far off Savior. I don't know who you are. And maybe you don't know the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're confused. Holy, what? Spirit. You don't understand. Fall down on me. Fall down on me, Spirit. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. He's the Holy of Holies. He's God the Father. He's the Spirit of God. He's with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to be your advocate. He wants to help you. So I just thank you. I hope I can help somebody. So amen.
Awesome. I don't want to step on the Holy Spirit up here.